Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and today we've got a guest. It's Bill Enright of FFChamps.com. Bill has been back-to-back top 10 in fantasy accuracy, so it's a pleasure to have him on the show. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm honored to be here, fellas.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you, absolutely. And today what we're going to be talking about, guys, is we're going to be diving into some under-the-radar studs. Then after that, we're going to continue with our divisional preview and talk about the AFC East. It's the weakest division, but there still are 20, 25 fantasy-relevant players, so we'll try to touch on every single one of those, guys. Now, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, it's at BobbyFantasyPro, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and Bill is at his name, Bill Enright. Tags, how's it going, dude?
It's good. I mean, we're July 10th now, and training camps, I think some teams are reporting in just under 2 weeks, so I'm pretty psyched about that, so we could start talking about, you know, tangible things that are actually affecting our decisions.
Are you wearing your swag?
I am today, actually. I have a hoodie on over it, but yes, I am wearing my Fantasy Pros t-shirt.
Yeah, so when we talk about the Fantasy Pros t-shirt, if you guys don't know, we did just open up a shop. You can find it at shop.fantasypros.com. And, you know, I've been wearing my t-shirts as well, and I had to wash them. So I'm not wearing it today, but I do have something really cool to tell you about. So if you want to check out the shop, that's awesome. You're going to find some stuff that you like there, and it's amazing how cheap they made this. I don't know how they were able to afford making the prices like $14 for a t-shirt. That's really good, but we've got a cool contest going on right now. It's called our Rags to Swag Giveaway. And, Tex, can you explain this a little bit?
Yeah, this is pretty crazy. I just heard about this promotion that we were going to be doing. And basically, what we're asking you guys to do is share photos of your rattiest, nastiest sports hats or t-shirts. And we're going to be giving away a hat and a t-shirt to the contestants that are deemed the most in need of new swag. So basically, we want you to look as, you know, unkept as possible. And make sure to add us on Instagram or Twitter or wherever, Facebook. We're going to be putting up promotions about that. But basically, we're just looking to help out someone that seems like they could use some new swag.
So here's the plan, guys. Like I said, we're going into under-the-radar studs. A lot of people are wondering probably if we're going to talk about the Tyreek Hill news. I don't really think it's news, guys. It's just speculation. Until we actually have some news, we're not going to jump into that and just play the guessing game. We did that with Le'Veon Bell forever, and that's what it was. It was just a guessing game. So we're not doing that again this year. Let's wait till we have some information. So we'll talk about under-the-radar studs, and Bill, we'll let you go first. We're going to each take turns sharing three players. Who are you starting us off with?
All right, before I get into the players, can I just talk about this rags to swag thing real quick?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I was about to go to the gym the other day, and I pulled out a Giants 2007 Super Bowl shirt.
Oh, nice.
And listen, it's not raggedy. It's not old, but it's aged 12 years. Like, it says 2007 on it.
Yeah.
So and whenever you have, like, a dated t-shirt and it has, like, the Super Bowl or the NBA championship year, like, you're basically broadcasting to the world that, hey, I've held on to this t-shirt for 12 years, and I'm still going to wear it out in public.
You're exactly right.
I actually did that not long ago. My White Sox 2005 White Sox World Series t-shirts that I had, I was going through and like organizing, getting rid of some shirts and stuff, and I was like, I think it's time. And it's like, I never want to throw those things away because they're memorable, but I don't wear it anymore.
Real question, guys. Do you do the same with boxers? Do you have boxers from like 2000?
Ew, no, dude.
Just message text. I just wanted to get a good response from you, and you delivered. Thank you. All right. So, Bill, who do you have for your first one?
Okay, so I have different guys at all different ADPs. The first one for a running back, to me, it's James Conner from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he's getting really overlooked. If you have that sixth or seventh pick, I think he absolutely should be in that conversation with Melvin Gordon, David Johnson, and Le'Veon Bell. He was an absolute stud last year. 13 games, 973 yards, 12 touchdowns, 55 catches for 497 yards. We know Mike Tomlin has not used a running back by committee over the years. And for some reason, James Conner is going later on in the first round or maybe even in the early second round. And to me, I think he should absolutely be in that mid-first round conversation.
Tags, what do you think about this? Because I know you've got James Conner, I believe, outside of your top 12 running backs. And I have him pretty low, too. But it's not because I'm low on Conner. It's just because I don't think there's much of a difference between running back 7 and running back 13.
Yeah, I'm actually 8 and 13 are somewhat interchangeable for me. So if you were to tell me that you wanted...
So wait, who do you have at 7 then behind Gordon and Johnson?
I have Todd Gurley still there. I'm not willing to move him outside my... You know, I'm not going to put Todd Gurley behind Le'Veon Bell. Like, that's just never going to happen. I will go down with that ship because, I mean, rather than taking boring, you know, volume from Le'Veon Bell, I'll take the upside in Todd Gurley. But, I mean, fortunately, you don't have to take him as the number 7 running back right now. He's going in the second round. But as for James Conner, I'm torn on that, right? I want to be with Bill on this one. And I had Conner up at number 8 in my rankings, in my running back rankings before all this, before they drafted Benny Snell, before they started talking about some of this timeshare business. We don't know if it's actually going to be true. The reason I tend to believe that it does have some truth to it is that James Conner, he wore down as the year went on. Like, if you go and look through it, like, he did really well. And then there was this moment, like, over the final quarter of the season where he just kind of broke down. He didn't look very good as a pass catcher. He dropped actually a ball that would have won them the game. I think that was against the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. It seemed like he wore down, and it was like, maybe we need to, you know, spread the wealth here. Maybe we need to involve Jalen Samuels in the passing game. Maybe we need to have Benny Snell to come in. And even if it's just 5 to 7 carries per game, that's going to take away some of that upside from Conner. And I do have some overall concerns about the Pittsburgh offense in terms of like scoring regression without Antonio Brown.
This is one of these situations where I feel like it could go either way so hard. Like, if James Conner is a top 4 running back in the NFL this season, wouldn't it surprise me whatsoever. If he fades a little bit, wouldn't it surprise me whatsoever. Now, where he's going, I think that he's a steal. But then again, like, I don't really know who I would be excited to draft him over, because once you get past those first 6 picks, I feel like, you know, picks 6 to 18, really, are all about the same. That's why I don't want pick number 7. But I'm looking at James Conner, right? In the first 12 weeks, he was the RB6 behind Gurley, Kamara, Barkley, Melvin Gordon, and Kareem Hunt. He was right there. He was ahead of Christian McCaffrey. He was ahead of Ezekiel Elliott, both 11 games into the season. Nobody was missing any time. And then he was hurt. And then we forget just how good he was. He missed 3 weeks, and he came back, and he was still just fine. He didn't score a touchdown in the last game. But in week 8, he ran the ball 24 times, and he was, for the most part, running the ball 19, 24, 21, 31 times a game. And then he went to 13, 9, 13, 15. I think that's what you're talking about wearing out, as the Steelers noticed, hey, we need to give this guy a little bit of break. But I think that's because he was recovering from cancer. I mean, it's not like you're healed from cancer and it's all better. Like, your body takes years to recover from that. And I think maybe this year we'll get to see James Conner unleashed. They had D'Angelo Williams, and they didn't use him, to split the backfield with Le'Veon Bell. He could have been, what, a top 10 running back in the game if not for Le'Veon Bell? So I just don't think that's what the Steelers do. I think Conner's going to be the workhorse.
I hope Bill's right on this one. I root for James Conner. It is a feel-good story about, you know, a kid coming back from cancer and beating it. And it's been a couple years now, but yes, it's a never-ending battle. Like, you know, that eats so much of your body going through that treatment. But good for him. Like I said, I'm rooting for him. I just feel like the Steelers have indicated that they're going to slowly work towards somewhat more of a timeshare. I still think that I don't think you can go wrong with him as a back-end RB1, high-end RB2, so I'm not that concerned.
You know, I wouldn't mind if somebody drafted him at 6. I don't have him there right now. I've actually got him at 18. I like Joe Mixon a little better. Dalvin Cook, you know I'm a big fan. Nick Chubb. I've got him right there with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. So, Bill, let me ask you this. You said you'd consider taking him at six. Would you take him over Travis Kelce?
To be honest with you, I'm not a big drafted tight end early guy.
Okay.
I know Kelsey's been incredible, but that's just been my kind of philosophy over the years where I just tend to stay away tight ends.
I understand that. So are you going with a streamer, or do you have a guy that you'd prefer to wait on in Graham?
Yeah, I typically go with someone that I'm going to wait on. Jared Cook, David Njoku, and Vance McDonald.
Excellent. Okay.
You know, they're all in that back end of the, you know, top 12-ish spot. But if you can take your tight end in the 7th, 8th, 9th round and still get pretty good weekly production, that's really what I'm looking for my tight end spot.
I'd be so nervous at that point that there'd be a tight end run. All three of those guys would be gone, and then you're stuck with, like, Kyle Rudolph or something.
Ugh.
That'd be so scary. But you know what? If I get David Njoku in the 9th round, I'm okay with that. I agree with you. And everyone knows both Dags and I like Vance McDonald. Now, what about, would you take him over Davante Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Bill?
I probably would take, I'm big on going running back first and then letting, and then getting a wide receiver in the second round. So yeah, I'd take Connor over pretty much any wide receiver at this point.
All right. Okay, so Tags, who do you have for us first?
All right, so I'm going to go down a little bit lower. We talked about him on yesterday's show, so I'm not going to talk too much because I kind of mentioned how I feel about him, but Aaron Jones. I'm curious to hear Bill's take on Aaron Jones, where he lies in this, and this is one of those situations where I believe you're getting a top five in terms of, like, upside running back. I think this kid could be considered, you know, a top five pick in fantasy drafts next year. The question is, does that timeshare go away? You know, does Matt LaFleur learn from his days in Tennessee and you know, say that Aaron Jones is the workhorse, and, you know, kind of like he did with Derrick Henry towards the end of the year? Because Aaron Jones, anybody that watches the game under, like, just watches Aaron Jones be a difference maker, whereas Jamal Williams is just, he's a plotter. He's not, like, as terrible as some people think he is, but he's a plotter. He's not a difference maker. Aaron Jones in the third round, is he a steal to you? Because to me, he's an under the radar stud.
I love him. Bill, what do you think?
I'm all over Aaron Jones in the third round, especially if you go running back, wide receiver in the first two, and then you back him up, back up your running back two spot with Aaron Jones. I mean, he's coming off the board at 16th for running backs. We know he's got a great offense. I don't want to hear about this timeshare or the committee. If you've watched the Packers backfield, you know Aaron Jones is really the most productive back, but for some reason that old coaching staff just didn't use him that way. He's only 24 years old. I think with Rodgers healthy, Aaron Jones could have a really, really exciting year. Jones has to stay healthy as well, though, because that's something that we have seen in the past pop up with him the last couple of seasons.
I think so as well. I think, Tags, if Aaron Jones is healthy, it's going to be a home run, man. I think he's going to be a first-round value. I'm starting to move him into the second round if I need to. You know, I've had a couple guys ask me, hey, I'm in a league up in Wisconsin. I like Aaron Jones too, but there's a lot of homers in this league. How high should I take him? I'd feel comfortable taking him in the top 20 because I think he's going to produce that way.
It comes down to, like, know who you're drafting with, understand if they're sharp, if they know that they need to reach for some players. Because, I mean, depending on where you're drafting, if you're at the very tail end of the second round, I mean, you're probably going to be able to get him at the beginning of the third. The issue comes, it's like, if you have a late first round pick, early second, you're not going to take him there. And it's like, now all of a sudden you're hoping that he falls to you at the end of the third round. And that's where, like, snake drafts, it kind of stinks, because sometimes you have to reach for your players and you have to understand there is risk associated with Aaron Jones that it probably doesn't call for a high second round pick, but at the same time, there is upside.
I was just going to say, Mike, I'm so glad you brought that up about snake drafts and why it kind of stinks, because that's why I fall in love with auction leagues.
Yes.
If you like a guy like Aaron Jones, you go out and bid for him and pay whatever price you think is justified, but you have that power to get the player that you like. And if you consider yourself very good at fantasy football, I can't understand why more people don't do auction leagues, because it plays into the people that are talented or know what they're doing. So that's why I love them. I think that's why my friends are afraid to do them. But I love auction leagues, and that gives you the power.
For sure.
You know, guys, I learned something really valuable a couple years ago in a draft. So one of my best friends, he was actually my college roommate. He's really good at fantasy football. We play in these home leagues together, and it's always me and him at the top. He actually writes for Fantasy Pros. His name's Ryan Malosi. And, you know, I kept thinking, I'm looking at ADP. I can wait and get Arian Foster in the sixth round, because his ADP is like the 9th round. If you want a guy, you go get him. And he snagged Arian Foster in the 4th round that year, and he was an absolute stud. And it just every single year when I think, can I wait and get this guy, especially in experts leagues, the answer is usually no. If I believe in a guy, somebody's going to go out and beat me to the punch. I can't let that happen. There's not much of a difference between, you know, grabbing a guy in the fifth when his ADP's in the seventh. You know, there's a big difference in grabbing a second rounder in the first or a third rounder in the first or something like that. But just go get your guys. That's the moral of the story.
Arian Foster's breakout year was 9 years ago, 2010.
Yeah.
It seems like it was like, you know, two seasons ago.
That's right. Yep. Two seasons ago, he was missing a bunch of games because he didn't eat any meat and his body just quit on him.
Yeah, that's right. He turned vegan.
All right, guys, here's my first one. And I don't know why we haven't talked about this guy at all, because Dax, both you and I love his talent. He's still really young. You want to talk about third year wide receivers breaking out? He's just in his third year. Like, why are we giving up on him? Corey Davis had a 26% target share last year. That's the same as Antonio Brown. That's higher than Juju Smith-Schuster, Amari Cooper, AJ Green, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton. Corey Davis gets the ball thrown his way. I know they went out and got A.J. Brown. I'm not worried about A.J. Brown. Corey Davis is by far the number one receiver in this offense, and Marcus Mariota was playing hurt last year. If he's healthy, I think he could be a top 15 quarterback, and with that's going to come fantasy points, and Corey Davis is going to be the guy that gets them. Right now, he's going in like the sixth round, Phyllis.
Bill, what's your take on this? I mean, I'll let you get into this before I go on a tangent here.
I'll pass on Corey Davis. There are certain guys in the league that either they're on a bad offense or I just haven't seen anything from them yet and they just don't excite me anymore. I was pumped for Corey Davis to go to the Titans when he got drafted. And I know he's only in his third year, but I just haven't seen anything from Marcus Mariota or that passing attack to get me excited, even if he is their number one wide receiver.
I know his target share was high last year, but you add in, you know, I know you're not worried about A.J. Brown, and I don't think you should necessarily be worried about A.J. Brown. He's a rookie. He's third on the depth chart, essentially, right now, a wide receiver. But Adam Humphries is a legit concern because that's a guy that's going to eat up some targets. They don't bring him in for nothing. Apparently, the Patriots offered him more money than even the Titans did, but he loved the role that they offered him there and, like, how he was going to be involved in the offense. You have Delanie Walker coming back who missed all of last year. So they want to be run heavy. They want to get Derrick Henry more involved. And that's kind of smart. Marcus Mariota, I haven't seen it. He continues to regress. He continues to look worse and worse. I know some people say he was hurt, but then what are you telling me about the game against Philadelphia last year when he threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns or whatever it was? I just don't think you could pick and choose your games and say, oh, he was hurt because he sucked. But what about when he's good? You can't say, oh, he's hurt, but he just played good because he's that good. It's been over the past 3 years. Marcus Mariota has regressed every single year. So it's not like it was a one-year thing. There's a reason they brought in Ryan Tannehill. That's not going to make a difference for me. To me, I want no part of that receiving core just because I think it's going to be all over the place. I do believe in Corey Davis, the talent. I just don't know when it's ever going to show itself. I don't think the offense is made for him. I don't think Marcus Mariota is good enough to get him the ball consistently on a consistent basis. So I have him ranked as my 28th wide receiver. So I'm still saying that he has wide receiver three.
You are way ahead of the curve on Corey Davis if you've got him 28. ADP, he's 36. Wide receiver 36. I said sixth round. He's going in the eighth or ninth round, number 93 overall. He's going behind Royce Freeman, LaShawn McCoy, Dante Pettis, Vance McDonald, Christian Kirk, Jordan Howard. You're telling me you don't think he's a great value there with 26% target share?
If you're getting him that late, yeah, but that target share is last year. I'm not paying for last year's numbers. It doesn't matter anymore. But what I'm saying is that Corey Davis, the reason that I have him at 28 instead of 36 where the ECR is because Corey Davis is legit alpha receiver. So like you're paying for hopefully wide receiver three production more often than not. And The true upside with Corey Davis, yes, it is a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. I don't see that happening, but the reason you draft him over those other guys like Dante Pettis, like Larry Fitzgerald, those guys don't have that upside. Like you talk about, what's the best case scenario with those players? I don't see a best case scenario where Jarvis Landry is a top 15 fantasy wide receiver with Odell Beckham there. So would I take Corey Davis in front of him? Yeah, probably. I think it's a messy area. Hopefully I don't have to draft any of those guys, but that's the reason I think Corey Davis is, I guess, worthy of a wide receiver three pick right now, just because his talent is there. And, you know, if Marcus Mariota, if I'm wrong and he turns back to who he was in his rookie and sophomore season, then yeah.
If I can get Corey Davis as my wide receiver three, I am doing cartwheels, guys. I've got him right now, wide receiver 23, just behind Alshon and Kenny Galladay.
I wouldn't do cartwheels. I wouldn't be mad, but I wouldn't do cartwheels.
I have to see some flash of a big game. I know he had a big game. I think it was against the Chiefs when they were in the playoffs that 1 year. I just haven't seen week in and week out, oh, Corey Davis is really coming on. Maybe this is the year he does it. But I just, maybe it's part of the problem with Mariota. It's part of, you know, they have another offensive coordinator change. I think it's their fourth one in the last 5 years or something crazy like that. It's just tough for me to get on board with him, even though at the end of the year, his stats might be there. But week in, week out production, it's a little bit of a headache.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, guys, let's move on to the second one. Bill, who do you have?
I was going to bring up Tyler Lockett. Doug Baldwin's gone. We saw how productive Lockett was last year when Baldwin was banged up. All career highs across the board. 10 touchdowns, 965 yards, 57 catches. I think he's an ascending player. There's really no other threat to compete for targets in Seattle. I know they drafted DK Metcalf, but Lockett can be someone as a deep threat, and he can, you know, still produce in that short passing game as well. We know Russell Wilson likes to throw the rock deep. They're a run-force team, sure, but I think if Tyler Lockett's coming off the board as, you know, the 52nd overall player or a fifth-round wide receiver, I'd rather have him as my wide receiver three than someone like we just talked about in Corey Davis.
Tags, I'll let you go first. Everyone knows how I feel about Tyler Lockett.
I agree with Bill. I'd take Lockett over Corey Davis. At least we know.
Most people would. I mean, you're not in the minority.
Right. I'm not, like, so Lockett, the reason he's falling outside the top 20 in drafts is because people are expecting regression from last year. He finished as the number 16 wide receiver. I think it wasn't half PPR. But the touchdowns are not going to remain. He's not going to score 10 touchdowns again. I don't see that happening probably ever again in his career. However, his targets are going to increase to the point where it's going to help make up for a lot of that. And you're going to see a lot more receptions with him taking over in the slot for Doug Baldwin. I mean, Doug Baldwin would not be considered by many is like a red zone threat in terms of, like, he's not a big body. He's not going to box you out. He's going to beat you with route running. And then he has Russell Wilson, one of the most accurate quarterbacks we've ever seen, throwing in the football. So there is something to Tyler Lockett scoring touchdowns. I don't think there's going to be 10, but I think the volume makes up for it.
I'm going to stop you right there. How much volume are you predicting with Tyler Lockett?
That is the issue for me. Okay,
that's he had 70 targets last year.
Right.
And he's not changing as a receiver. He's not suddenly becoming some possession receiver. He's a gimmick guy.
I'll say he's more than a gimmick guy. I don't think you score 10 touchdowns as a gimmick guy on 71 targets. I think he's more than that. I don't think that you're right. He's not a possession receiver. I don't think that he's someone that should see more than maybe 100 to 110 targets.
So do you think he's the wide receiver one for Seattle?
I think he sees the most targets, yeah.
When Doug Baldwin was out last year, I said this last show, Tags, he wasn't the wide receiver one. It was Brandon Marshall got the most targets. It wasn't Tyler Lockett.
That was a very small sample size at the beginning of the year, though, I believe.
Three straight games.
But Marshall's gone, and so is Baldwin.
Yep. And Pete Carroll's pumping up David Moore, saying he's a special player, that he's really excited about him in his new role this year. And David Moore was extremely efficient last year. I'm a big David Moore fan, Bill. I don't think you probably know that. Everyone listening knows I love David Moore, but I think David Moore is going to lead this team in targets.
I do like David Moore. I take anything that Pete Carroll says with a grain of salt. I mean, no one has been more publicly on record, positive, chewing gum, blowing bubbles, blowing smoke up his players, you know what, than Pete Carroll. I mean, he does this every year, guys. He did it with Thomas Rawls. He's done it with CJ Procise. He's done it with JD McKissick. He's done it with every player on his team. So I do like David Moore's talent. The one thing I will say about Lockett and his touchdowns is he never had a game with more than one touchdown. So it's not like he had this explosive game where he's caught three touchdowns in week four and then two touchdowns in week eight and another two in week nine. He did it very consistently, slow and steady, one touchdown over 10 games. So I don't know how much that touchdown regression will really come because it wasn't like this big explosion of scores. He did it just very consistently.
You know what's crazy, Bobby? Here's an argument on your side of things. Did you know there was not a single game last year he had more than seven targets? There was just one game with more than six, and he never caught more than five passes in one game last year.
I didn't know that, but now I'm going to use it. Hey, by the way, guys, if you want to see like what all the experts think about two players, like if you just want to match them up, for instance, I'm typing him right now, Tyler Lockett and Corey Davis. You go to fantasypros.com/NFL/draft, and it's who should I draft? So you can type in two players, three players, four players, and it's going to tell you what the experts recommend. So right now, Tyler Lockett recommended by 76 of 89 experts. That's 85%. It tells you which experts, where they have him ranked. Tags has Lockett 23. Corey Davis, 28. Bill's got Lockett, 19. Corey Davis, 31. I've got Lockett, 27. I've got Davis 24. So you guys can check that out and play with that tool. It's one of my favorite on the site. Who should I draft? FantasyPros.com/NFL/draft. Tags, let's move on to you for your second one.
Yeah, my second one, I could do a combination in this one. I'm just going to stick with one player, though. I'm just going to say James White. James White is someone who people just continually, like, I can't tell you how many times, guys, that I've heard someone tell me that I don't trust Patriots running backs. Those are the same people that are going to lose at fantasy football. I promise you. Because you look for that. That's why Sony Michel was one of the best values in the draft last year. That obviously worked out. And the thing is I almost put Sony in this conversation too. And I'm kind of falling guilty to it myself, is that, you know, it's easy to fall into these rumors about another knee scope and like how he's falling behind. And like, you know, did they draft Damian Harris because they're worried about Sony Michel? I think it's more to do with the Patriots just always collected running backs. And Sony Michel, if you go and look at that playoff run that he had, that was special. Like, it was legitimate, you know, top five running back upside. But James White is not going to go away. James White is like the Christian McCaffrey of their offense with less carries. So you're not going to get the upside that you do with Christian McCaffrey, but you're going to continually see those targets. There is nobody outside of Julian Edelman that he trusts more in that offense. Him and Tom Brady, if there's one area of the field that you don't have to worry about Brady aging, it's those little, you know, short dump off passes, those little floaters that go down the sideline and literally just drop right in the basket of James White. So he's someone that's continually undervalued. Last year finishes the number 7 running back in half PPR formats. And I'm having a tough time seeing how this doesn't happen again. Like, and if it doesn't happen again, you're looking at what? At worst, a top 20 running back finish, yet he's being drafted right around that RB30 range.
Do you agree, Bill?
I love James White. I think people that don't get his role in that offense just have not been watching the Patriots enough.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I'm sure this is why you guys had me on the show today, that we're doing the AFC's preview. I host a radio show for the New England Patriots, so I'm very familiar with everything they kind of do on the field. I watch them probably more than any other team that I watch, only because of my role with the team. Career high in carries last year, career high in 425 rushing yards. He had a team high 87 catches. Through the first 10 games of the year, he was like running back 2 or 3 in the PPR format. 766 yards, 121 touches, 10 touchdowns, 61 catches through the first 10 games. He was incredible. Week in, week out, he was the steal of the draft last year. And he's going again under the radar for 2019. I can't figure it out. He's a playmaker. He's another wide receiver for the team. And he also runs the ball out of the backfield. Not as much if Sony Michel is healthy, but let's see if Sony Michel will be healthy again.
From a PPR standpoint, it took 12 and a half points to finish as an RB2 last year. Okay. There were only 4 other running backs that had more RB2 performances than James White. So don't tell me he's inconsistent. The only running backs were Alvin Kamara.
I'm not telling you he's inconsistent. Don't come at me with that. I love James White.
No. I'm just saying those people that tell me he is, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, and Christian McCaffrey. That is it. Those are the only players who had more RB2 performances than James White.
So guys, something I like to do is if you click on the player card, just click on James White's name in our rankings, and then click on rankings there, that tab, and you can sort it by the rank to see who has him ranked the highest. Jason Moore, number 3 in accuracy. Dan Harris, number 28. Heath Cummings, number 34. This is out of over 150 experts. You've got Sean Corner, number 4. I'm up there, number 29. Every single person that has James White ranked high did really well in accuracy, and that's kind of telling, right, guys?
It's always a good thing. It's never a bad thing to have like some of the highest ranking experts on your side.
Yep. All right, here's my next one. And Tags, you ready to puke?
Probably.
I think a lot of people at home are going to be upset about this, but hear me out before you turn off the podcast, okay? I think Josh Gordon is still a stud, guys, and I think that the Patriots are convinced he's going to play at some point this season.
He's not going to play football.
Why did they tender him?
Hold on a second. So if he's suspended, it doesn't even matter. So Josh Gordon, the last time that he's been suspended twice. He had a year-long suspension, and then he had an indefinite suspension.
Yeah. Patriots are convinced he's going to play, man. I don't know what to tell you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless
there is a chance Josh Gordon plays. And when Josh Gordon started for the Patriots last year, week 6 through 13, that's 8 games, 619 yards. You prorate that to a full season, 1,200 yards, 70 receptions. He's still really good. And if there's a chance that he plays, I want him with my last pick. Why not? What do I have to lose?
A spot for someone else that's actually going to play football this year.
Yeah, 6 weeks of a taken up roster spot.
That's minimum. I don't think he's playing football this year.
I'm convinced I will make the playoffs by wasting my last bench spot and then saving Josh Gordon for the playoffs when I've got a wide receiver too.
That's a weak league then. I need all my roster spots.
Do you apply that to Kareem Hunt as well?
Kareem Hunt's not coming back till game 10, game 11. And when he does, he's not even the starter. So I don't think Josh Gordon was playing for the Patriots, he'd lead the team in targets.
I had to talk Bobby into that whole Kareem Hunt thing. So I told him. So Bobby finally bought in. He's going to buy into Josh Gordon eventually with me too, saying that he's not going to play football and you don't draft him.
If they say Josh Gordon's not playing football, I'll buy into it. But he was on pace for 120 targets, guys.
If he played, he'd produce. I know that. That's what I'm saying. Kareem Hunt, if he played, he'd produce. But he's not going
to
play.
Just wanted to get you on the record for that because he was awesome.
Josh Gordon has always been awesome. He still is awesome at football. The problem is, and Bill, you should know better than anybody, like obviously covering the Patriots, I don't think Josh Gordon plays football at all in 2019. And at the very least, unless the NFL somehow stops and says, you know what, we're gonna make pot legal, we're not going to test for it, and Josh Gordon, everything that we've done to you, forget about it. I don't think that's the case.
I think the Patriots are smart knowing that a new CBA is coming at the end of the season and that most likely marijuana will be one of those things where the NFL says, okay, if you guys want to smoke, medical, whatever, something happens. I do think that will be on the player's side in this next CBA. I just don't know if Gordon plays this year. I'm not saying he's not talented. I'm not saying he doesn't produce whenever he's on the field. I just don't know if he's going to be on the field. I think there's a better chance of Gronk catching passes from Tom Brady this season than there is Josh Gordon.
Have you seen Gronk? Gronk's tiny. He weighs like 200 pounds now.
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight. It's really incredible.
He looks funny with that big old head and no body.
And those long gangly arms.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I like Gronkowski so much. He's a lot of fun. You know what? If the Patriots didn't win all the time, I think they'd be one of the most likable teams in the NFL.
It's amazing what success can do if you're not a fan of a team, right?
Yeah.
So I was in Boston actually 2 weeks ago, and there was a flag that I debated buying for the man cave down here. And it had 9 pictures of Bill Belichick. Okay. And it said Bill's face when ... and then losing, winning. And every single one was the exact same. And that's why you have to love Bill Belichick. He's like the Brooks Koepka of the NFL. Like he literally shows nothing, no emotion. You can't tell if they just won the game, if they just lost the game, if they're losing, if they're winning, if he's pissed off at Brady, whatever the case is. Like Bill Belichick, best coach of all time.
I tell you what, guys, 2 weeks ago, I'm not kidding, I'm not making this up. 2 weeks ago, I had a nightmare that I was interviewing Bill Belichick on this podcast and I didn't have any questions prepared and he tore me a new one. That would be terrifying to interview Bill Belichick.
I asked him a question at Super Bowl Media Day, and it was like such a softball. Like, he could have gave me anything. And all I said was like, what do you want to say to the Patriot fans traveling out to see the game in person? And he looks at me, he smiles, he legitimately smiles, and he just says, I'm sure it's going to be a good game.
He has so much fun trolling everybody.
He could have took a grand slam on that softball one, and he just, like, gave me a 3-word answer.
That's awesome.
And then, like, smiled at me again. I was like, oh, thanks, coach. You know.
All right, Bill, why don't you give us one more under-the-radar stud, and then we'll go into the AFC East. And it's going to be a little bit shorter than the other divisional previews just because, sorry, it's the AFC East.
Just because it sucks?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a quarterback. How about Jared Goff? 12th quarterback, 99th overall. We know he has a great set of receivers, possibly one of the best 3 receiver set in the entire NFL. Great running back out of the backfield. I love that screenplay they do. I don't know how defenses can't figure out how to stop it yet, but it always seems like Todd Gurley's running down the field for 50 yards every time they run that screen pass. I don't know if people are worried about a Super Bowl hangover, but I think the fact that their coach is so young and innovative that I don't think they'll allow defenses to catch up on that extra game film they have from their playoff and Super Bowl run. He finished the year as a quarterback 6 last year, but yet he's going as a quarterback 12. I don't understand it. It's one of the only reasons why I always wait on my quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately, won't be on any of my teams this year, but he was on almost every team last year. Jared Goff is going to be the same situation this year. I will take him all day long in the 12th round.
I have some concerns about Jared Goff. I'm not like giving up on him. I have him a little bit lower just because I know what Lamar Jackson's going to be. You know what I mean? I know Dak Prescott's always a top 12 quarterback. I like Kirk Cousins a lot. So I don't have any Jared Goff, but if you're asking me, everyone's talking about Carson Wentz could be an MVP this season. If you're asking me who's more likely to be the MVP between Goff and Carson Wentz, I'm taking Goff. I think the Rams are going to win more games. I think Goff has better weapons. I think Goff has the better coach. I think Wentz is more talented, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, when they came out, I actually liked Wentz a little bit more, even though I just felt like he had a bigger ceiling. But we have Jared Goff, who ended up with the better offensive mind in Sean McVay. So the question you have to ask yourself, Bobby, and we had this argument actually not long ago about it, is do you think the Rams are going to finish as a top 12 scoring offense? The answer is yes. Like, you're not going to say no to that.
Of course.
You'd probably say yes to top six. And I've mentioned before, I just did an article on what does team scoring mean for fantasy football. So 75% of quarterbacks that play on top 12 teams, so 8 of 12 are going to finish as top 12 fantasy quarterbacks. So Jared Goff is most likely going to be in that conversation again. And if they're top six, that percentage goes up to, I think, 88% or something like that. So
they're top six.
He's the general. He's the commander of that offense. I don't think it necessarily matters if he doesn't have a crazy high ceiling of Carson Wentz in terms of like his arm strength, but Jared Goff is perfectly fine. I have him as QB8 right now, and I also believe he's undervalued.
It's a good stat, man. All right, Tags, why don't you give us one more name, and then I'll do one to round us out, and we'll go divisional preview.
All right, I'll go a little further down the list, and I'm going to say Rashad Penny. You know, Chris Carson, as good as he is, and, you know, all that, all of his injuries have added up. He's never even been able to stay on the field when he has been handed the workhorse role. I do think he's still talented, but here's the thing. Mike Davis is gone. Rashad Penny started to come on at the end of the season, too. That was with Mike Davis there, with Chris Carson there. So now that he's in better shape, he's had the full offseason to work out. He's, you know, Chris Carson is still recovering from some sort of procedure he had done on his knee again. So this is a first round draft pick. I happen to think there's going to be enough room for production for both Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. This team wants to run the ball 30 plus times per game. And if for whatever reason, Chris Carson can't hold up to that workload again or gets passed by Rashad Penny, we're going to be looking at a top 12 fantasy running back that you're stealing in the later rounds.
Oh, my dynasty team loves hearing that.
Yeah, he is so good, Tags. If Chris Carson wasn't there, I would be the biggest Rashad Penny fanboy. But Chris Carson's there, so I'll have shares. I'll have shares of them both, but I can't get full on board because Chris Carson's not losing his job. He's either healthy or he's not healthy. And if he's healthy, he has the job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I think that there's room for both to produce. And it's not to say that Chris Carson is going to like fall by the wayside. Pete Carroll does love him.
He loves everybody.
He doesn't love the media, I don't think.
I think he just loves talking in front of that microphone about how much he loves his players. That chewing gum. He must have like 4 wads of gum in there.
He has to. He definitely has to. So everyone thinks Daryl Henderson is the best handcuff running back. I don't think so. I think the most talented backup running back is somebody who's going after Daryl Henderson, ADP 51, and maybe he might not even be the backup. I think there's a chance that he starts. I don't want anything to do with this San Francisco backfield, but when I saw Matt Breida's being drafted as the running back 51, yeah, I'm drafting him everywhere. There's a chance he starts, and let's say Coleman starts. Coleman gets hurt. Breida could be a monster in Kyle Shanahan's backfield. He's the single fastest running back in the NFL. He was banged up last year, still played great. I think that he has a chance to be a top 10 running back that nobody's talking about.
But here's the issue. He did have Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon hurt last year. What did he finish? Matt Breida had that opportunity last year. And Kyle Shanahan, I don't have an issue with Matt Breida's talent. My issue is the fact that people think that he's going to win this job. No, he's not. He's not going to win the job because he's had two years to win the job. He's been on this team. Kyle Shanahan knows exactly who Matt Breida is. He also knows exactly who Tevin Coleman is after working with him at Atlanta. They had a chance to legitimately cut Jerick McKinnon and save over $8 million. And they chose not to do that. So McKinnon's involved. Coleman's involved. Breed has been there 2 years, and they still brought these two running backs back. And I can't get on this bandwagon, not because I don't think Matt Breed is talented, but because he's absolutely buried on this depth chart.
Is there upside at RB 51?
Right. I mean, I would rather have Damian Harris.
I would love to see Jerick McKinnon get traded. I don't know if that's going to happen. Yep. But
I'll give him to the Bucks.
Yeah, right. Send him to Tampa Bay. Perfect. I've never been a fan of McKinnon. Everyone goes crazy about the spark score.
Send him to Houston.
When Adrian Peterson was suspended that year, McKinnon really still didn't do anything. They had, I think it was Matt Asiata or someone else that just like stole the touchdowns and then Latavius Murray and last year with the ACL. And I just never been a fan of his. I'm a big Tevin Coleman fan. Okay. And I had Matt Breida on a lot of my teams last year. And I did fine with him. he played through injury because I think he knows that these other guys are getting paid this big money, so he has to make himself available.
What I'm trying to say is, I think if Matt Breida plays, he is a stud. Now, we'll see if he plays, and I'm taking that chance at RB51.
That's fair.
All right, guys, let's move on to the AFC East Divisional Preview, and we'll obviously start with the Patriots. Now, we usually start by saying, which team is going to win the division? There's no point in having a conversation. The real question is, are the Patriots going to win all six divisional games? I think it's yes.
They always like find some way to lose in Miami, which is hard to believe given how bad Miami has been. And they always play the Jets on the road, somewhat of a close game, but they do end up squeaking it out. I can see them going 5-1, but 6-0 in the division would not surprise me ever.
Yeah, it's tough. They're almost a shoe-in to get a bye in the playoffs. I think that's happened, what, 8 straight years? Is that right?
Yeah, they're just, it's insane. I just wish, guys, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a third-generation Giants season ticket holder. I just happened to host a radio show for them. I think it's insane what this team has done the last 20 years. And I just wish people could step back and just appreciate it. Because 20 years from now, if you were watching the Patriots this 2000 to 2020, you know, two-decade-long dominance, in 20 years from now, people would be like, oh, my God. They were absolutely insanely incredible. Tom Brady is the best ever. It's amazing what this team has done. The pure dominance in the AFC, in the AFC East, all the records, all the Super Bowls, all the wins. I just wish people would stop hating for a second and just kind of appreciate their greatness. But the true haters, they bring up Spygate and Deflategate and all this stuff. And I just think it tarnishes really the utter domination factor that this team has brought to the NFL.
You know what? I think it's the best dynasty in NFL history. I think it's the second best in main men's sports pro history behind the Boston Celtics back in, what was it, the 60s or 70s when Bill Russell won 11 out of 13 years, I believe it was. The Patriots are amazing. So let's talk about them for fantasy. Tom Brady is going to be drafted as a QB1 this year. Now, Tags, we talked about how we've got him down around QB20. Bill, do you agree?
Listen, he's won 10 or more games in 16 of the last 17 seasons. Most wins all time, most playoff wins all time, 6 Super Bowls. That's great for the NFL. Not great for fantasy football. I just, there's no point of drafting him. He still puts up solid numbers. I think he was number 8 last year in yards. I think he was 32 or 29 touchdowns, which was like 9th or 10th. But just for what he does on a weekly basis, and you add in some of the losses that they had at the receiver spot, and he just is not going to be a fantasy reliable option. Sure, you can use him in DFS when the matchup's right, but for season long, just not interested.
Yep. I think it's really useful to go to our rankings page and just look at the difference between ECR, which is expert consensus rankings, see what the analysts in the industry think, and then compare it to the general public, their ADP, average draft position. And nobody has a bigger difference at QB, not even close, than Tom Brady. He's -8. The experts have him ranked 21. The public has him 13. I think that's going to be an even bigger difference once the more casual fans get in there. The opposite is Jameis Winston. General public has him at 16. ECR has him at 11. I think if you asked most people who would they rather have, Brady or Winston, people would be furious if you said Winston, but it's not even close.
Yeah, I've had people like tell me I'm dumb because I had Jameis Winston inside my top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah, of course. I've got him at number 6, so send him my way. I'll fight with him. All right, let's talk about, we already talked about James White quite a bit, so let's skip him. Sony Michel, Damian Harris, and Rex Burkhead we need to touch on. We haven't said his name once all preseason, Tech. So let's start with Sony Michel. I know that he's got the knee issues going on, Bill. Are you concerned about that at all?
I do think anytime there's repeated procedures in the same area for the same bone or muscle or whatever, I do think that's concerning, right? We've seen it with Sammy Watkins and his foot, Julio Jones and his toe or ankle or whatever it is. So that is concerning to me. Anytime you repeated procedures, that's a red flag. And the Patriots, they're not dumb. I think they drafted Damian Harris for that exact reason. He brings that three down capability more so than Sony Michel does. That's not saying that Sony Michel won't lead this team in yards, will not lead this team in rushing touchdowns. But I do think the Patriots play it safe and they say, okay, well, we should be concerned about this injury or his injury history. So let's get someone like Damian Harris who can maybe take over that role for us. We already have James White in place. Let's get someone to maybe have someone in case something happens to Michelle again.
Now, Tags, I know you're not getting many shares of Sony Michelle. Now that his ADP is dropping, that might change. But let me ask you this. What is his upside? If we get 16 games out of Sony Michelle, can he be a top 8 running back?
Yeah, I have Sony at 17 in my running back rankings, right behind like the guys like, you know, Marlon Mack and Damian Williams, who are part of, you know, high scoring offenses as well. And I don't think we have like the injury concerns that we do about Sony. And then like obviously the competition with James White and Damian Harris and Rex Burkhead. But Sony, if he play, I think if there was no risk in terms of like we knew Sony was like the LeGarrette Blount of the offense and that there was no risk about his knee, I think Sony Michelle would be being drafted up with guys like James Conner, like Nick Chubb. Like I don't think that there's much difference. Now, the issue is that if you play in like a PPR format, you need to lower Sony down your board because he doesn't catch many passes and he's not going to with the guys they have on the roster. But if you're in like a standard league, I think Sony can be considered as a top 15 running back. I mean, he is one of the bets that you could probably make to lead the league in touchdowns if he stays healthy.
All right, and then Damian Harris, Tags, and I both love him as a handcuff. Mm-hmm. If anything was to happen to Sony Michelle, if he misses a chunk of time, do you think Damian Harris would jump right into his role, Bill?
Yes, I really do. And Belichick's not afraid of using rookie running backs. Yeah. He did not fumble in college. That's huge up there in New England. I think he's a decent pass blocker. I think he's more explosive than Rex Burkhead. So if they're going to go to somebody to use between the tackles, I think it will be Damian Harris. And maybe he got overlooked only because of what Jacobs did in college, but Harris is really good and he's talented. So I know I'm coming off as a homer, and I can't say other than trust me, I'm not. I think the Patriots got a steal with him.
Yes, they did. Oh, he is so good. I don't think he's that much worse than Josh Jacobs. I had a very similar draft grade on them.
I think Bill Belichick will like Damian Harris better than he would have liked Josh Jacobs, just because Damian Harris is a no-nonsense guy. Like, he'll get what's blocked for him and then some. I think him and David Montgomery were both tremendous values in the third round.
Guys, I have 4 New England Patriots running backs in my top 45 running backs. How do they have so much talent in this backfield?
They spread it around.
Yeah.
And Rex Burkhead, actually, like, I know you mentioned him, Bobby, and I actually think that he's like a sleeper that I've grabbed in a few best ball leagues that...
He's perfect in best ball, isn't he?
He could play in the slot. He can get some carries. He might get some goal line work. Like, there's a lot of unfamiliar faces on this team, and they could have let go of Burkhead, but they didn't. So I think Burkhead is like someone in best ball. Like, in redraft, I don't think you need to draft him, but if you have like deep benches, I'm okay with it. But in best ball, I definitely stash him at the end.
Oh, I was just gonna say Sean McVay gets a lot of credit for being so innovative and using different personnel, but I think Josh McDaniels does an incredible job of using his personnel and getting really creative with his playmakers.
I agree with that. Everyone forgets how great Josh McDaniels is as an offensive coordinator. Just because he didn't do great as an NFL head coach, I think he could if he had another try. But he's phenomenal, isn't he?
And then he shafted the Colts. I mean, that was,
that's right.
That was not a big PR. That didn't go over well either.
We don't need to talk about tight end, Benjamin Watson, Austin Seferian Jenkins. Steven Anderson, I think, is a sleeper because he's got a lot of athleticism. You put a guy like that with Brady, maybe he could break out. Obviously we're not drafting any of these guys though. At wide receiver, we've got Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas coming off the Achilles, N'Keal Harry. I don't like any of these guys at their ADP. Tags, what do you think?
I like Edelman an awful lot. I think that he's going to be the definition of a consistent wide receiver 2 on your fantasy team. Don't go in expecting top 12 numbers because you're not going to get them, but you're going to get wide receiver 2 consistent production, especially with Gronk gone. Like, Edelman is going to be such a favorite. But I know he's aging, but like, he's that type of guy. He's a gritty, smaller guy that hasn't taken many big hits over his career, because remember, at the beginning of his career, he was somewhat of a special teams guy. He was a utility player. So I like Edelman an awful lot. N'Keal Harry, don't even, his wide receiver 40 in ADP, I don't touch him there.
What?
Yeah, he's right next to Larry Fitzgerald, which is just crazy. But I'd probably take N'Keal Harry over Cortland Sutton. But that's a story for a different day. Bill, I want to track back to the tight end. Who do you foresee being the starting tight end? Because Ben Watson got suspended. Is Steven Anderson like a legit player, like someone that you think, because Steven Anderson did flash in fantasy a couple years back. Who do you think the starting tight end to own here is in fantasy if you had to pick one?
Am I missing something on Matt LaCosse?
Is he going to be the starter?
I don't see why he wouldn't be. He'd be the guy. I mean, the Patriots very rarely bring people in for just the heck of bringing them in. They'll bring people in, and if they don't like them, they'll cut them right away. They did that with a lot of wide receivers last year. I can count five or six of them.
Me too.
And Lacoste has been on the roster through minicamp, through OTAs. I think if they weren't going to use him, they would have gotten rid of him by now. Especially with what's going on with Dawson Seferian Jenkins. Who knows if he's going to play this year or come back to the team. Ben Watson suspended for the first four games. I like what I saw out of Lacoste last year when he was with Denver. He will not put up Gronk numbers. But if you ask me who the starting tight end for the Patriots is going to be, I'm going to say Matt Lacoste.
Okay, interesting. All right, so what do you think about the wide receivers then? Is N'Keal Harry actually going to start? He's my favorite long-term prospect from this draft class in the wide receiver position. I just don't think he's necessarily polished.
And that's been a big, big problem for Bill Belichick. If he's done one thing wrong or had one tarnished record with his draft class, it's getting these wide receivers. Aaron Dobson a couple years ago, Malcolm Mitchell never really panned out injuries, and it just seems like he keeps missing on these wide receivers that he's drafting, and that's what always forces them to go into free agency or pull guys out of special teams like Julian Edelman. Edelman, to me, is an absolute wide receiver two in the PPR format. If you project his 16 games over, or last year, he missed four of them, 1,100 yards, eight touchdowns, something like 97 catches. He's a beast. And it's just that role. We saw it with Wes Welker, and Edelman just stepped right into that role. So as long as that Brady slot receiver connection is there, you can't go wrong with Edelman. Other than that, I'm a little worried about the Patriots receiving core because Philip Dorsett doesn't really bring a lot to the table. Unless there's been some medical revolutionary procedure that I don't know about, Demaryius Thomas is not going to be healthy to start the year. There's no shot of that happening.
He's never going to be Demaryius Thomas again either.
He could get cut, actually, because from what I understand, his contract only had a million guaranteed?
Yes, it wasn't expensive at all. But that's why people are drafting Emmanuel Sanders, and he had the same injury, and I just don't get it. These guys are not going to be healthy.
Man, Julian Edelman is so good. I'm looking at his last 5 years.
Oh, it's insane.
Per 16-game average, 103 receptions. 1,100 yards, six touchdowns. I think I might have overthought this one a little bit, fellas. All right, let's move on to the next team. Who finished second in the AFC East last year? Does it matter?
Dolphins.
The Dolphins did?
Yeah, I think so.
So is it going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick or is it going to be Josh Rosen, and does it matter? I mean, we're not obviously drafting either, but in two quarterback leagues, if Ryan Fitzpatrick is a starter, I'd want him.
It matters to their wide receivers. I don't think you necessarily want Ryan Fitzpatrick even if he starts, but I think that I would have a lot more confidence drafting their wide receivers if Ryan Fitzpatrick was starting.
What do you think, Bill? Is it going to be Fitzpatrick?
I don't know, man. I think Fitzpatrick proved that he could still play. I mean, he was the number one quarterback in September last year, and I think it was a franchise decision to go back to Jameis Winston because they know they needed to pay him, pick up that fifth-year option, or let him walk. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick was the better quarterback last year for the Bucs. I think he proved it. I think DeSean Jackson was very vocal about him being the better quarterback for Tampa Bay. I think it led to the head coach getting fired. But the team and the ownership made a decision to go with Jameis Winston as their franchise quarterback, and that forced Ryan Fitzpatrick to the bench. Did we see Ryan Fitzpatrick-type things where he started to throw the ball away, where he started to have a lot of turnovers? Where, yeah, you did. But you know what? You got that kind of thing with Brett Favre, too.
You're right.
Where you can't take away who the player is. He's going to make those plays, and sometimes he's not. And that's what we get from Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's exciting. I think he should be the starter. And if the Dolphins want to sell tickets, if they want to win a couple games in September, he should absolutely be the one on their center.
Tags, I'm looking at it right now. He played 28 quarters last year. And if you make that a full 16 games, 5,408 yards and 39 touchdowns. I mean, that would have been a top three fantasy quarterback. And he doesn't even, he actually did run the ball a little bit last year, 152 yards in those seven games, two touchdowns. Is he someone that we want to own in a two quarterback league?
I mean, you're losing Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, DeSean Jackson, OJ Howard.
That's the problem with Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, they have nobody. I just don't believe in their receiving core at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough.
I'm not saying he's going to throw for 5,500 yards and 40 touchdowns, but I am saying even with that receiving core, if Ryan Fitzpatrick starts, he's such a gunslinger. He's going to get 4,500 yards. He's going to get 25 touchdowns.
If he was going to get 4,500 yards, you better figure out the receiver you're going to draft, because he would obviously produce one. I don't think he's going to do that. I think they're actually going to go with Rosen, because you don't trade for a guy like Rosen and then understand that you're going to be a bad football team. I think they know that. I think Miami is prepared for that. Their defensive line is to shreds. They don't have pass rushers anymore. Their secondary is solid, but they're in a rebuild process. They understand that. They have a brand new head coach. So the idea here is that, do we need to draft a quarterback in 2020? And the only way to find that out is to put Josh Rosen out there and see how he does. Because if he struggles again, it's like, okay, this is his second team. Not to say he's been put in the best situation, because another offensive line that's crap, another first-year head coach. There's a lot of things that are going against Josh Rosen right now. But I think that's why they ultimately start him over Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So, Bill, I've seen a lot of people that like Kenny Stills. A lot of people that like Albert Wilson. Tags and I like Devontae Parker. Do you like any of these guys?
No.
For their draft value.
I can't do it. Kenny Stills had fewer than 30 yards in 9 games last year.
Yes.
He caught more than 4 passes in a game just 3 times. I think he had over 100 yards 2 games. All his other games, he had less than 65 yards. I can't buy into Devontae Parker. Loved his talent at Louisville. Ankle, shoulder, you know, drama issues with him. Albert Wilson, he went crazy that one week. Everyone picked him up on the waiver wire, and then he hurt his hip the next week, and everyone had to drop him again. Mike Gesicki, you know, high prospect out of, I think it was Penn State. He just really didn't show anything last year. I don't know. This division, if it's not for the Patriots and like Le'Veon Bell, I don't know who you're taking outside of the AFC East. I want to draft players on good teams. I want to draft players that score a lot of points. Alluding to Mike's article from the other day, and I just don't see that from the Bills or the Dolphins.
Now, Tags, we've talked about how we like Devontae Parker a little bit. When he's been on the field, he's actually been pretty good. At least, you know, he gets 60 yards in 60% of his starts. There's only like 15 guys in the NFL who have done that since Devontae Parker came into the league. He's just not on the field. What is his actual upside? Can he be a wide receiver 3, maybe even a wide receiver 2?
If Ryan Fitzpatrick is under center, yeah, I think that it's possible. I think that he's one of those guys that Fitzpatrick has known to be like the D-gaff quarterback, the don't give a, you know, that's the type of quarterback that he is. He's willing to throw it in a tight coverage and let his wide receiver win. Devontae Parker can win jump balls. And we even saw, I think it was not this past season, but the year before, Devontae Parker, I want to say over the first 4 weeks of the season, was like a top 15 fantasy wide receiver. He was getting like between eight and 10 targets, but then he had like a high ankle sprain and it literally derailed his entire season. And then Adam Gase basically hated him from there on out and whatever. But I think Devontae Parker, I think the talent's still there. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is someone that can support a wide receiver in fantasy football. So I think he's one that I'm willing to throw a dart at in the late rounds, and you're going to learn really quick whether or not if you can drop him or if you want to hang on to him.
All right, so at running back, Kenyon Drake, I think, has quite a bit of upside. They just didn't use him right last year. Are you worried about him splitting touches with anybody, Bill?
I think the only person that he'd really split touches with is Kalen Ballage.
I'm not worried about him. He's just a big bear.
Frank Gore had a lot of touches last year for this Dolphins team, but there's a lot of opportunity. Frank Gore had 168 touches last year. That's a lot of opportunity for Kenyon Drake to take advantage of. He had a great 2017 season. People forget about that. He was a league winner for a lot of people, and then he was just a disaster last year, but he still finished in the top 15, I think, in PPR. He was just really inconsistent. He didn't really have weeks where you were very confident in using him in your lineup, or string together of a couple games where you're like, okay, I know I can rely on Drake as my running back too. It just never really happened. But again, without Frank Gore there, I hope this coaching staff smartens up and says, okay, you know what? We're going to give Drake the rock a little bit more.
You know, from week 7 on in PPR leagues, Kenyon Drake was better than Aaron Jones, James Conner, Dalvin Cook, Mark Ingram. He was really good, guys.
Over the last 2 years in Miami, I don't want you to base your opinion too much on Kenyon Drake on how up and down he was with Adam Gase, because over the last 2 years in Miami, the running backs there combined for 10 rushing touchdowns on 645 carries. And mind you, the running backs he had were Jay Ajayi, Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, and Damian Williams. other coaches have gone on to use those running backs quite a lot better.
That's why I'm so nervous about Le'Veon Bell this year.
Oh, I'm not drafting Le'Veon Bell. It's a mess. He's going to get volume for sure, but it's not going to be good volume in that offense. So I think that Kenyon Drake could be one of the steals of the draft, but the reason that you can't like say that he probably doesn't present top 12 upside is just because that offense is just not going to be very good.
In 2017, was he battling with Damian Williams week in, week out when Jay Ajayi got traded?
When he got traded, they wanted to go to Damian Williams, and then Damian Williams got hurt. It was like a 50-50 timeshare, and then Damian Williams got hurt, and then Kenyon Drake ran with the job.
Yes, he just took off. People won championships that year because of Kenyon Drake.
Yes, I did.
Nobody's drafting Mike Gesicki unless you're like in a best ball league, and even then, I wouldn't be too excited. I think maybe he gets some targets and that's the extent, touchdown or bust type of guy. So let's go on to the Buffalo Bills. I don't even know who their starting running back is going to be. What do you think, Bill? You should know since the team is named after you, by the way.
Yeah. The only New York team. I think it will be LeSean McCoy, but I read something the other day that McCoy begged the team to sign Frank Gore. I don't really understand why he would want that, but that's what at least they said.
Maybe so he can get cut and move out of Buffalo. That's what I would do.
McCoy had a career low in yards per carry last year. He only had like 14 touches per game. It was kind of a shame to see. I hate when these running backs that we love that dominate for so long are kind of being sent out to pasture. And that's what's happened to LeSean McCoy.
And that's what we remember him as. Yeah, no one's going to remember.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yep.
I want to see that cut on a dime Shady McCoy. The guy that came up to me on the sidelines one time and started talking trash to me just because I had a pregame pass and I was with a bunch of six other huge dudes around me that were in the Army. And McCoy just came up to us on the sidelines and just started talking trash about how he was going to run all over the Giants. I mean, that's what I want to remember LeSean McCoy as. Like this kind of fun player that just like made people miss and made him look silly, kind of like a crossover in the NBA. That's what I want to remember McCoy as, breaking ankles. And now that he's on this Bills team and they're just so sad, and Frank Gore's in his 15th season, 36 years old. And if I had to name one player in that backfield that I'm excited about, it's actually TJ Yeldon.
Me too.
I think he showed that he can handle a full workload when Leonard Fournette was out last year. He had a career high in catches last year in Jacksonville. I think Yeldon has a pretty good opportunity. Maybe the second half of the year. Maybe once Frank Gore breaks down. Maybe once LeSean McCoy breaks down. Then we'll see the younger Yeldon emerge.
Tags, you're a Yeldon guy too, right?
I like Yeldon. I just hate the situation. It's like Frank Gore. You don't sign Frank Gore to have him sit on your bench. He doesn't sign with the team to sit on the bench.
This is like the 49ers, except way worse.
Yeah, and then you have LeSean McCoy, who they could have cut. They could have saved a lot of money. They could have traded him, most likely. They hung on to him. None of it makes sense to me. I still think there's a chance LeSean...
And then they drafted Devin Singletary.
I think there's a chance that they're holding out hope that someone gets hurt in training camp on a different team and then they trade LeSean McCoy to them, because I think they do want to unload him, because obviously they're not going to trade Gore after signing him. So, I mean, they did upgrade the offensive line throughout the offseason too a little bit. So, I mean, I don't want a part of it. I really don't. I don't think this is going to be a high-scoring team, obviously, and I just think that's going to be a messy, messy timeshare. I do like TJ Yeldon. I just hate the landing spot.
Again, with tight end, we've got Tyler Croft, Lee Smith, Dawson Knox. Let's move on to quarterback with Josh Allen. I think he's only a streamer in two quarterback leagues. He's too volatile to trust. He'd be a great quarterback three, but there's certain games where I don't want anything to do with Josh. I don't want anything to do with Josh Allen in NFL, but in fantasy, he can be quite useful in certain points. What do you think, Bill?
Never had more than 245 passing yards in a game. Only had 10 passing touchdowns. His rushing ability shocked me. I did not expect 89 rushes for 631 yards and 8 touchdowns. Those are Cam Newton rushing totals.
And he did it in 12 games. He could get 850 yards this year.
I couldn't believe he was moving like that. I was really taken aback by that. If he doesn't get those rushing totals, we're not even discussing him as a fantasy option.
I agree. But I mean, same thing with Tyrod Taylor, right? And Tyrod Taylor was someone that a lot of people wanted to start.
I've always actually been a big fan of Tyrod. Very, very efficient. I think he was a smart quarterback. I'm happy the Browns moved to Baker Mayfield, but I was excited for Tyrod at the beginning of last year.
I'll say this for Josh Allen. He's a lot better at passing than I thought he was going to be. I know he only completed 53% of his passes. He was getting destroyed back there as well, but he had some flashes where I thought, you know, this guy might actually be an NFL quarterback for a while. He was, and he improved throughout the season too. So I don't want to just trash on Josh Allen. He's a quality football player.
His receiving corps is terrible. Who has the worst receiving corps? Miami, Buffalo, or Baltimore?
Well, I think Miami, because they added, Buffalo added John Brown. Zay Jones was all right last year. Robert Foster.
I think I'd still take Miami over Buffalo's.
Would you? Okay.
John Brown's aging. I don't think it's going to mesh very well with Josh.
I mean, Cole Beasley they brought in. I can't get excited about this team at all.
Yeah, it's hard to. They're probably still going to find a way to win 7 or 8 games.
I'm so happy you guys brought me on the podcast today. this illustrious division.
Yeah. All right, guys, we do need to talk wide receivers. Are either of you guys even remotely considering John Brown, Zay Jones, Robert Foster?
No, because they're not going to offer any consistency with Josh Allen at quarterback.
Yeah.
Negative.
Robert Foster is the best ball target. Zay Jones is going to be the target guy, but he's like the only a warm body that you want during bye weeks. And then John Brown, I think, is also a best ball guy.
I'll take John Brown in best ball format only because of that kind of system. But other than that, I'm staying away.
Just for reference, though, the Bills last year finished 30th in points per game. Bobby, over the last 7 years, of the 84 quarterbacks who have finished top 12 in fantasy football, only 2 have come from bottom 10 scoring offenses. So if you think that Josh Allen's going to suddenly break out, even if he's on a bad team because of his rushing, there's been other rushing quarterbacks too, but they've had to score more points.
I am not saying that he's going to. I'm saying that sometimes he can be all right.
Yeah, best ball. He's a good best ball target. Or super flex, like in 2 quarterback leagues, yeah.
All right, last team here. It's the New York Jets. A lot of people are excited about Sam Darnold. He's going to break out like Jared Goff did and Carson Wentz did. Guys, hold on. I don't think so. I don't think he's really that good yet. What do you think, Bill?
I'm from this New York, New Jersey area, so the Jet fans are very consistent year in and year out. September, they're the best team in football. October, you know, the whole world's going to end.
Yes. It's fun, though. Good for them.
Oh, it's the best. It's awesome. You know, you just feel like you just wait a week and your whole life will change. I'm so anti Adam Gase that it's really tough for me to get excited about this team. I do like Robbie Anderson.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, I like Robbie Anderson. I love Le'Veon Bell's talent, of course. How could you not? But it's just the Gase factor. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets are decent this year. But going forward over the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to fall apart. It always happens with them. I think it always happens with Adam Gase. He was like 23 and 25 during his 3 years in Miami. They were always at the bottom of the league in scoring. I can't get excited about them. They brought in a couple different players like Le'Veon and Jameson Crowder and Ty Montgomery. But I'm just not sure if I'm really going to be focusing on drafting any of these guys. Just based on their team.
I really like some of their young players on defense. Jamal Adams, Quinnen Williams. He's one of my favorite players in the league already. I just love Quinnen Williams. This team's going to win more games than they did last year, for sure. I think they're probably the second best team in this division. I wouldn't be surprised if they win 8. Maybe they win 4 games against the Dolphins and the Bills. But I'm not really buying into the Sam Darnold thing. Tags, where do you stand?
Not yet. No, not yet. He's a young quarterback. It's fine. But in fantasy football, Sam Darnold doesn't offer you much at all. He doesn't run the ball very much. It's a low-volume offense in terms of plays per game. Adam Gase, with the Dolphins over the last 3 years, they averaged 58.2 plays per game. That's terrible. The league average is 62.9. So once you start taking away plays, you don't have any rushing production from a quarterback. I don't like Sam Darnold at all in fantasy football. Even in 2 quarterback formats, he's a very, very weak low-end QB2. He might have games here and there, but nothing steady and consistent.
So we all agree, fade Le'Veon Bell. I've got him RB11. We don't need to talk about him. Let's talk about this tight end, Chris Herndon. A lot of people are really excited about him. Got him in their top 12 tight ends. Again, I'm not buying it. I think that Jameson Crowder is the over-the-middle type of guy. Herndon was great towards the end of the season. He was also the only guy that they had.
Yeah, the correlation I have here is between running back and tight end. So if you think Le'Veon Bell is going to walk in and not see targets, then okay, sure, buy Chris Herndon. But if you think that Le'Veon Bell is being brought in to be the pass catcher that he was in Pittsburgh, you have a problem for Chris Herndon because the league average for running back tight end tandems is around 140 targets per season. No two players on the same team, running back, tight end, duos, have combined for more than 195 targets over the last 3 years. So when you're going into Le'Veon Bell into this 100-target territory, which some people expect, it's like all of a sudden we're shrinking numbers for Chris Herndon. And by the way, I mentioned this team runs so few plays, so the pass attempts are going to be down. If you think the defense is going to be better, they're going to run the ball a little bit more. I would be shocked if Sam Darnold doesn't finish in terms of pass attempts per game. Sam Darnold should be in the bottom five this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. Bill, are you drafting any Chris Herndon? You mentioned your three tight ends, and he wasn't among them, so I'm assuming not.
No, I won't be drafting any of Herndon. I think he looked good in a couple games last year. The tight end position, he could be a streamer for you. He could be someone that you use in a bye week or someone that emerges later on in the season like he did last year. But that's the thing for tight end for me. I can always try to find one guy that maybe he'll score a touchdown this week, and I'll take the 7
sure.
points.
So why don't you tell us why you like Robbie Anderson? Because we haven't talked about him much. I know that some people in the industry like him a lot. Others don't like him at all. Why are you a fan?
He struggled early on, and I think that had a correlation to Darnold just kind of getting used to the NFL. But you look at the final month of the season, 24 catches, 360 yards, 3 touchdowns, average 15 yards per catch. Those are the kind of things I look for. Did he develop chemistry with his rookie quarterback? Absolutely. Did it take until December? Yeah, it did. Did he have a big game in week 16 against the Packers and their terrible secondary? Yes. But at least I know the talent is there with Robbie Anderson. Sure, he has that off-the-field issue stuff that may or may not pop back up at any time he goes out clubbing or whatever it is. But if he keeps his head in the playbook, like a lot of these coaches want their players to do, then I think Anderson could be a solid wide receiver 3 this year.
You know, and it's not like you're spending a lot of draft equity on him. So if anything was to happen, you're not missing out on too much. He did have 941 yards in 2017 with 7 touchdowns, 63 receptions. That's pretty good. He's still young enough, 26 years old, that I don't think that was his ceiling.
You mentioned Jameson Crowder before, Quincy Enunwa. I don't really see either of those guys taking that role away from him.
Yeah, not going to take Robbie Anderson's role. I think that Sam Darnold prefers to throw to the Jameson Crowder type. If Quincy Enunwa was going to be in the slot, I'd love him. I really like Quincy Enunwa as a player, but you move him outside and he's nothing. Jameson Crowder is definitely going to be in the slot. Jameson Crowder is going to be, in my opinion, their number one receiver this year. Tags, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, Crowder, Gase has already talked about how the offense is going to run through him, and you go back to what the Dolphins did last year. I mean, remember when they signed Albert Wilson, and everybody was like, okay, Albert Wilson, that's a good fit, and then all of a sudden they signed Danny Amendola, and you're like, what the hell is happening? It's like he wants to collect these slot receivers and use them in the same role, and it's weird. So it kind of matches up with what Gase is saying, is that the offense is going to somewhat run through Jameson Crowder, and that he's going to rack up a bunch of receptions, but... Again, everybody on this team, the reason I don't like them is because I do expect minimalized pass volume. And while Robbie Anderson is probably going to have the biggest splash weeks out of the wide receivers, it's really tough to find any consistent play in this group. I mean, it's so tough with such minimal volume.
I was just going to say, when you approach your wide receiver 3, do you look for that splash? Like, I know, Bobby, you said earlier, if you're Corey Davis is your wide receiver 3, you're happy with that because he does kind of bring that consistency. For me, I'm looking for that big splash on my wide receiver 3 where if he does put up a dud game, hopefully the rest of my roster is stable enough to kind of make up for it. And then that big splash kind of helps put me over the edge sometimes.
So you're all about like Mike Williams?
Oh, right. Mike Williams, Will Fuller, Robbie Anderson. Those guys in my wide receiver 3 spot, I love. DeSean Jackson's another one. I like those guys in my wide receiver 3 spot. That's where I take the risk.
I actually agree with that. I just don't know if there's going to be enough splash weeks in the Jets offense is all. But otherwise, that's why I think Will Fuller is an ideal wide receiver 3.
I'm going to give you guys one name. So 2 years ago, I said Keelan Cole was a player to watch, undrafted rookie wide receiver. And I really liked him. And he ended up doing really well at the end of last season. Robert Foster, I didn't mention him. I'm not saying that. But he ended up being really good. Another guy that was undrafted. Nobody really heard of him. Watch Greg Dortch out of Wake Forest this year for the Jets. If anybody gets hurt and he slips into a role, I think he's kind of like Tyler Lockett light. He's going to break some big touchdowns and he'll be on your radar by the end of the season. I'm assuming he makes the team at least. All right, guys. Anything else you want to add, Bill?
I just want to say this. I am happy that the three of us, I was being tongue-in-cheek before about bringing me on for the AFC East, but because sometimes it's just as helpful to talk about players not to draft than it is that you want to draft. So the fact that all three of us were fading Le'Veon Bell, I think that's a big, big deal. And a lot of people will be drafting him just based on the name recognition alone. But I consider you guys two of the best in the business, so I'm happy I'm on board with the same factor of fading on Le'Veon Bell this year.
Well, Bill, it was great to talk to you. We really enjoyed it, and it was nice to get your expert analysis on the AFC East, and it's always nice when you agree with us as well.
I appreciate you guys having me. Great show, guys, always.
It's our pleasure. Thank you. And don't forget, guys, we've got that Rags to Swag giveaway going on. Tex, can you tell them about it one more time?
Make sure you send in your pictures to our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Fantasy Pros. And just send us pictures of your most raggedy sports hat you have, or raggedy sports shirt, jersey, whatever you have. Just don't look good. That's all. Because basically, we're giving away a free hat and a free shirt to those who look the worst.
All right, guys. For Bill Enright and Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.